This is Merrick
and Australia.
With a big thanks to Toyota, Scott Doolis hanging out with me, the Savo. There's been a very big story and a big talking point today. Suburban and bush footballers are using ice as a performance enhancing substance.
The drug.
Yes, certainly not just the coal packs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've been proven to be effective. No, the actual drug, and what's really seems to be sad is that they're getting it from, some people are getting it from their coaches and administration within football clubs. One man fighting against the battle against ice as an epidemic and certainly within football is a guy called Chris Daffy. He's the football manager at Lindau Football Club in East Gippsland. He joins us on the line now. G'day, Chris. How are you, mate?
G'day. How are you?
Very good, mate. Tell us, you obviously in the area, not necessarily specifically your football club, have had experience with players who are playing on the drug ice, correct?
Yeah, look, I think obviously this is an issue that affects a lot of clubs and a lot of leagues. So, you know, it's not confined to my league as such. And fortunately, at Lindenau, we've been pretty lucky that, you know, this type of behaviour hasn't really forced it or infiltrated our club yet. But it's something that we've got to be aware of, and we want to set the agenda and obviously, you know, be the club at the forefront of, you know, sort of leading the fight against this sort of stuff, so we can assure parents that when they bring their children to our club that they're going to be always in a safe environment.
Mm. Chris, this concerns me because I'm a East Gippsland boy. How did you find out this was going on? Because, like, did you notice players playing differently and you started asking questions, or was it just, you know, scuttlebutt around town?
Yeah. Look, you know, and I guess a lot of it has been, you know, rumour and innuendo, but after a while, it starts to stack up, and it's not just, you know, one or two people saying it. It becomes a whole of, you know, the whole region talking, you know, about, you know, different players or different clubs as such. And then you talk to people from across the other side of the state or down in Blongway or the north, and all of a sudden they're talking about it as well. So, as I said, it's not confined to one club, and it's not like that you can... you can say it's not actually happening, even though there isn't a great deal of evidence that, you know, would suggest that there are players out there, but we don't have the mechanisms in place to do that at the moment either. And we've also heard, you know, I've spoken to players that are now, you know, either not playing or still playing, but have used the drug in the past, and they'll happily give you a first-hand account because, you know, I guess it's a way of, you know, dealing with their reform as such that, you know, admitting to some of the things that they did. And you know, quite a few players have gone on record, you know, to different club officials and different league officials and said, well, this is sort of what happens, you know. And you look at a person like Gavin Crisisca, you know, at AFL level, and, you know, his story's been well documented. And, you know, he came up to our league last year and gave a presentation to our leadership groups, which I think was really beneficial for everyone that attended.
Well,
and, you know, the stories he would tell from the clubs that he's been at too was quite interesting as well.
Yeah, well, look, it's certainly not isolated to East Gippsland or even to Victoria, but Police Sergeant, Senior Sergeant Tony Francis has been spearheading a fight against ice use in Geelong and in the greater area of Geelong, where he's heard stories about blokes who are smoking ice in the car park or in the car just before they hit the field. Now, of course, if guys are going out on ice and they're playing football, they're putting themselves in great harm's way, but also, too, they put themselves at risk, other players at risk as well, because they're going out charged up like Superman and they run through another player.
Mm.
They could potentially cause some serious harm that they wouldn't normally do if they weren't affected by the drug ice.
And trips to the tribunal, I imagine, Chris. Have you seen a bit of a rise in them?
Look, I couldn't say that there's been, you know, an increase in our... you know, tribunal statistics or, you know, charges of striking or those kind of incidents on the field. But, you know, we're getting to the point where, you know, I'm sure that if it hasn't happened at some place across the state, it will. But not only that, you know, you mentioned before about the sort of the stuff they're doing down in Geelong, and I've got to commend them for the work that they're doing down there. And you know, this is a problem that we need to deal with at a grassroots level, because you're right that they're only putting themselves and others at risk, but they're also potentially exposing, you know, the younger players, the next generation of people at the club.
You don't want juniors seeing that or being anywhere near that. 133 53. Always keen to know your thoughts or experiences if you've had anything to do with this. We're just talking there to a football manager at Lindenau Football Club, Chris Daffy, who is obviously, he's on the charge to try and make sure that it doesn't penetrate his club, but it is actually a bigger problem. It's right around the country. This is not like having a couple of Sudafeds before you have a game, Duels.
No.
And well, I know players who have a very similar name to mine who have taken a couple of Sudafed before a game because, you know, it's that give you a bit of charge, a bit of bravado, I suppose, when you go out in the footy field. But this is just next level. Well,
you know, Warwick Kappa claimed to, well, he said he had speed before the 86 qualifying final. Yeah. And he said he got a kick until half time and then just hit the wall.
Yeah. There's been rumours. You know, I think we've all heard them. I'd never say them on air because litigation.
Because laws.
Yeah. But there's been talk about, you know, and both codes of footy in this country about players going out and having a smoke of ice before, smoke of ice, it just sounded like a 65-year-old.
Yeah.
Having, you know, a bit of meth before they go out and play football to get the advantage. 133-53, your thoughts or experiences on this? It is a really disturbing thing to be seeing in Aussie sport.
You're listening to Merrick and Australia.
Thanks for your company. Scott Dools is with me and we're in the, Dooley is in the studio with me this afternoon. We're just talking about the fact that there's an ice epidemic amongst regional footy clubs. It seems largely in Victoria at this stage, but no doubt right around the country. Players using meth before they go on the field to give them a bit of an advantage or
an
edge.
A boost, yeah.
Look, sadly, and whilst we're just discussing this off air, Ben Cousins has just been arrested for the third time in as many weeks. I don't know the details of it, but I mean, obviously he's troubles with drugs have been well documented. And also today, former AFL player Billy Nichols has been jailed for 11 years for shooting two men whilst he was under the influence of these drugs. It's just, clearly it's at all levels, but they see the grassroots level. I mean, honestly, at this stage, it's only Auskick that's left that is not using substance, fortunately. Interested to get your thoughts and your and any experiences you might have. We've got Jeff in Central West, New South Wales. Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, good, mate. What did you ring up to say?
Just that ice is an absolute epidemic out in Central West, right, in all country towns across Australia.
Whereabouts are you specifically, mate?
Out past Orange.
Yeah, okay.
In Central West, New South Wales.
Yep.
And it's just in these small country towns, it's wrecking them. It's absolutely wrecking them. Like, there's theft going on. It's just ridiculous. It's a scourge. It's a scourge of the world. And we as people and as a community and as being part of one, I think we need to stand up and get something done about it.
How long have you seen it in your neck of the woods, Jeff?
Mate, probably the last 3-4 years. It's gotten really bad. I know there's been a lot of police investigations in around the town and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people getting busted and the police are trying to do their best. But I think there's a lot of it underground and a lot of people that don't know. And I think they just need to, we as a community just need to stand up and fix it.
Mate, I'm sure that there must be an allure to it. I mean, I don't know what it is. I haven't smoked ice, so I don't honestly know what the allure is. But, geez, I would never be game enough to put that thing in my mouth and smoke it because it's...
No.
It just seems to end tragically for everybody. But to see that it's in, like... Football clubs for me, particularly in those regional areas, Jeff, like where you are they are one of the epicenters for trying to, you know, keep people away from drugs. That's where, you know, they've got the stability of community in local areas that stops people from, you know, turning to drugs, turning to crime, or turning to folly in some way.
I think a lot of it out in the country, there's a lot of boredom.
Yeah.
And you'll find a lot of the kids that aren't involved in sport or aren't involved in community activities, that's where they've got nothing to do out there, you know what I mean? That's where they're sitting around and do it, and their mate does it, so they do it, you know what I mean?
It's like Minecraft, but a drug.
Yeah, it swoops on, and once they're on it, they're on it, you know what I mean? And once they're on it, they're definitely dangerous. I've had people where I come from assaulted by people on it.
Yeah, like I said, you don't hear any good stories about
it. No, there's no happy. You never see someone looking at the mansion going, "I owe it all to ice." You know, I've never seen that.
Well, except for maybe the people who manufacture it, but not the
supply side. Definitely.
Yeah. Thanks very much for your call, Jeff. Thanks for people who are calling through
around the country. This is Merrick and Australia.
And Scott Dool is hanging out this afternoon. And Sasha Tannock's also in the studio with some national headlines. What's happening, Sash?
Thanks, Mez. Well, it's all about footy players behaving badly in today's headlines, I'm afraid. Former AFL player Ben Cousins is in trouble with police again. The reports the former West Coast Eagles captain has been arrested for the third time in just 2 weeks, although details of today's incident are a little sketchy at this stage.
It's just not going to... You just don't see that getting any better. Because he was taken in for a psychiatric evaluation, wasn't he? And then he discharged himself.
Yeah, he had that low-speed chase and he was arrested, and then he was caught inside the SAS barracks.
Oh, no.
And then, he was taken to a mental health facility. Tragic. So really sad. And also today, the NRL is investigating a weekend punch-up involving two Sydney-based rugby league players outside a pub. Now, footage reportedly shows close friends Manly's George Tafua and Jacob Loco from the Bulldogs trading punches out on the footpath after leaving a club on Saturday night. The Seagulls say, though, that they don't believe it's a police matter.
Hang on a second. Were they fighting each other?
Yes.
Okay. So
reportedly, we haven't seen the footage.
How do we know they're not just going through some training drills?
Well,
Tommy Radonica's face slap. Just getting ready for the next
interesting pub. Interesting strategy.
You show me. Let's just work this out. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. I mean, we should probably do this on the field. But okay.
I like how that's how they treat close friends. Imagine they didn't like each other.
I know. Oh,
defence might use that next time. Okay, and US movie and streaming service Netflix has confirmed how much it'll cost when it launches in Australia tomorrow. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this. There are already plenty of Aussies who have actually been bypassing the geo-blocking technology to actually access this contest in the US already. But from tomorrow, you can do it here. It'll be a little bit more than the price of a beer, about $8.99 a month for the basic package. The big thing is for House of Cards fans, it'll get them the latest season.
So $9, geez, it's getting really competitive now, isn't it? There's a lot of offerings.
There are, yeah. There's the Stan and what's the other one? Presto and Foxtel. So there's quite a few out there.
If we get
it's a little
one
bit cheaper.
One more carrier, they'll eventually start paying us. They'll give us like $4 a month. To,
I like
to,
that
to
idea.
I like that idea.
Yeah, we just need one more.
From Sale to Saddleworth, this is Merrick and Australia.
Thanks to Toyota. I've got Scott Dooley with me.
G'day, mate.
Hi, Dools.
How you going?
What's
hey,
going?
Before I've got something to tell you, but before we get in, can I've got a name that I'd like to run past the American Australia Nickname Committee, and obviously pending investigation and approval.
I do like it's, giving out nicknames.
Yeah, I know you do. It's for our intrepid panel operator here, Alan. I would like to launch the name Sneaky Al. Now, the reason this isn't come out of nowhere. So earlier today, we were mucking around in the office, and I'd written an email to someone, and Al said, "Oh, forward it to me so I can pass it on to someone." Mm-hmm. And so I just gave Al my phone so he could put his email address in. And then when I have a look at my phone, it's weird. Instagram was open.
No.
I wasn't using Instagram. And then it was weird because I always follow in any social media, I only follow 666 people because I think it's kind of funny. And I said, well, 667, that's a bit weird. Who am I following? Lo and behold, Sneaky Al on Instagram.
Sneaky Al. He used to be, we used to call him Big Al.
Big Al.
Now he's big.
Now it's Sneaky Al.
Sneaky Al. That's, geez, you'd make a terrible drug courier though, wouldn't you? Because you I don't know why. You just would.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Oh, okay. And also, Sneaky Al comes with a catchphrase, which is, shut up, Sneaky Al.
Turn that off, Sneaky Al. I think it's funny going through people. Like, it's, you know, the good old days, and I don't even know how to do this now, with smartphone technologies, right?
I love how much you've just leaned into being a Luddite. Like, you used to be the most technical dude I knew. You were always being able to set things up, and now you're just going, I don't know how to use my phone.
Dude, I've got kids. I'm over 40. I've stopped trying. Like, seriously, I just want to be confused by VCRs again.
But it's like you were against technology and you've run the white flag up.
I just don't. My thing is, in the old days, like if you just had a Nokia or something like that, you just go, you get your friend's phone, you just go, well, I hope you can speak Vietnamese. And then bang.
That was the classic.
That was the best.
Yeah.
I actually found out the steps to get back from that if somebody changed your phone into Vietnamese. But now I don't know how to change languages on a smartphone. I don't know how to do that.
Why do you need to? Just to dick around.
Just to prank myself.
But it's different. Now you just take a picture of your genitals and set it as the wallpaper. So, you know, we've all got that.
I can't do that. I've tried so hard. I just keep missing it. How do you get the wide
speaking
angle?
Of...
Speaking
of photos...
I don't want that in my gallery.
This was... I had a heartbreaking moment. I was with my girlfriend and she found a photo of me. It's actually a photo of you and me. From about 5 years ago.
It was not that photo.
No.
Oh, okay. She said, get that off your phone.
The one with the Nokia.
I remember that night. We snorted so many Nokias. Just kidding.
So she had a look at the photo, and I'm not going to lie to you, I was a bit pudgy. I wasn't afraid of a few pies and ice cream or two.
You did go through a tiny fat phase, which I enjoyed.
My nickname was Scotty Pie Face.
Yeah,
from
it was.
Everyone that was close.
Scotty Pie Face.
Scotty Pie Face, correct. Yeah. And Sneaky Al's got a ring to it, doesn't it? Sneaky. So anyway, she looked and I said, in my defense, I'd been on holiday for 6 weeks. And my girlfriend said, oh, where'd you go? The buffet. It's not great.
Because she's teasing you for old school. So she's never seen you as a fat man.
No.
Because you're quite a thin guy.
Mm.
See, that's the thing. I always said from a very young age, right,
yeah.
Get the body of a 40-year-old now. Let them know what they're going to get. Right. I mean, buyer beware, but seriously, just put it out there.
This is on you, honey.
That's it. So now, at 41, I've got the body that I had at the age of, say, 25. Yeah. And everyone's just going, you know what? Mez has done really well keeping himself together. No, Mez let himself go early, and now everyone goes, God, he's really doing quite well. No, I'm not. It's the same. It's the same Mez. I'm still a stunned guy.
Merrick and Australia will be right back.
Comedians Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell have got a brand new film out called Get Hard. I chatted to the blokes early today and had a good laugh with them.
Guys, congratulations. I laughed my ass off. It was a very, very funny movie.
Oh, thank you,
thank
man.
You so much.
Thank you.
Did you actually have to consult any prisoners, any real prisoners, to kind of get some inside information on jails or prisons?
I just talked to my dad. He's been in jail a lot. I just asked my dad some questions.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
very helpful from his jail experiences.
Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah.
Okay.
I drove by a prison once. Yeah.
And that helped?
I mean, yeah, I guess it gave me a little mental image of what they look like. But luckily, I'm the one who's being incarcerated, so I didn't necessarily have to have any knowledge what it's like to go there.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think we all know that in reality, Will, you would be f***ed if you went to prison.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah, yeah.
No, 100%.
100%. Within the first 15 minutes.
I think as soon as he gets there, they're gonna go, that guy.
Yep.
I want him next.
Yep.
I would just walk in going, I know, I'm next.
Not a problem. We don't have to make it physical.
We don't have to make it a big deal.
It doesn't have to be a thing. Just tell me where to go.
I don't want to spoil the film for anybody, but there is a scene there where essentially there's an expectation that you might have to put a d- in your mouth. Were you thinking to yourself, isn't this meant to happen at the start of my career?
First of all, thank you for not spoiling that scene. Yeah, you're right. It is weird to have made a number of comedies now, a number of successful comedies, and here I am in that situation. Yeah, you would have thought it would have happened earlier. You know, I think that hopefully I'll earn that much more respect.
I think you are.
From society.
Yeah. I think your respect level is going to go through the roof after this thing comes out.
Kevin, there's an underlying theme to the movie as well, which is really good, which is about kind of racial stereotypes as well, isn't there? It's not just about prisons.
No. I mean, you hit it on the nose. It's just something. It was a unique way for us to make people laugh at themselves. You know, we think everybody is guilty of stereotyping, assuming, you know, judging a book by its cover without even reading it. And this was just a way for us to kind of show people firsthand why that's such a bad thing to do. Because you're looking at two characters that did it. And after doing so, once they got to know each other, they realized that what they assumed was completely wrong. And that road to friendship is a mm-hmm. great road. And, you know, I just think it's something that people all over are going to be able to watch and relate to. Not only laugh at, but everybody's going to walk away with that underlying message.
Will, what was your workout regime for this film?
Oh, you're going to love this.
You know, well, I did a lot of capoeira workouts, which
did.
Is a beautiful Brazilian martial arts that is, you know, as we learned in the film, highly ineffective in terms of defending yourself in any way. Other than that, you know, one or two sit-ups, a couple of push-ups.
Literally a couple.
I tried to, increase my carb intake.
Well, can I say, the results are really evident in the film, and I congratulate you on that method acting. That was incredible.
Thank you, yeah.
Gentlemen, a terrific film. I enjoyed it immensely, and I hope everybody can get out there and go and see Get Hard with Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. Good on you, guys.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the time, guys.
Take care, guys.
This is Merrick and Australia.
Scott Dooley's hanging out with me this afternoon, and we've been talking over the course of the last hour about this ice epidemic that's been raising its ugly head in local footy club stools.
Mm. Yeah, people taking, smoking a bit of meth before playing footy.
Super performance-enhancing drug.
That's right.
Like, really not mucking around. Not even waiting for a SADA to get onto it. Just going, get into it now!
Straight onto it. I must say, it's a bit hard for me to kind of be passing judgment on this stuff. And I feel, look, I'm not proud of it. As you know, I used to be a football coach in country Victoria.
Right. That's right.
And I kind of feel a bit responsible.
What's the name of the team again?
The team.
Did you coach?
Did I coach? Mm-hmm. Oh, the...
How best was this?
The Ducks.
The Ducks. Oh, the old Duckies.
Yeah, the Mighty
when
Ducks.
When did they win the premiership again? When was the
87.
When 87, was it? When you were coaching in 87?
I coached in 87.
Right, okay.
And,
a while ago?
I was, yeah, it was a while. I was the youngest coach in the
league.
Yeah,
like, you would have been the youngest one.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. I'd quack, 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 and they'd go out there and yeah. They'd try. But I actually had a bit of experience with this. I tried some of the boys on and myself on different drugs. And as a part of the experiment, I'd record my pre-match addresses.
Oh, okay.
Didn't always work. So I tried them on ecstasy.
All right, let's bring it in, boys. All right, right from the start, boys. Right from the bloody start, I've loved every single one of yous. I have every... Where's Tomo? Tomo, come here. Mate, have a look at your bloody head. Can I touch your head, Tomo? Can I? Just give it a little... Oh, God, that feels good. Wait, two lanes? Even numbers? Come up one at a time, touch Tomo's head. Just give it a bit of a rub. How good does it feel good on your head, Tomo? I bet it bloody does. It feels bloody good on my hand. All right, once you finish with Tomo, head over and just start rubbing your arms. Jono, can I have a sip of your water, mate? Yeah, you having a good one? Yeah, had a good arvo? Yeah, me too, mate. Good, yeah.
Ecstasy didn't work. It didn't work.
Clearly.
We didn't go well. So then I tried the boys on, I got them on the pot.
All right, bring it in, fellas. Big game today. Big bloody game. Boys on the wing. Where are me with? Sonny, Jinxie, where's Sonny? Where's, yeah, oi. Where are me with, boys? Did you bring the cheesels? Excellent. All right. We've got them going to need. Split yourselves up into two groups. Quickly, boys. Quickly, let's get it together. All right, if you reckon... The Empire deliberately allowed the Death Star to be blown up to create a sense of complacency within the Alliance. Go and get behind Flano over there. Or, if you believe the shot Luke made in A New Hope couldn't have been contrived because the opening was no bigger than a womp rat, then head over behind Sheppy.
So pot was tough.
Yeah, distraction.
You know what, though? Acid. LSD.
Oh, what?
Got us to a grand final.
Gather round, boys. All right, big bloody effort from you blokes today. Big bloody effort. Now let's play the full game. No slacking off. No lapses in concentration. You can't do that in a grand final. Forward. Where are we forward? Boys. Big bloody dragon hanging around on the left side, all right? Now don't get sucked into it. Don't get sucked into the dragon. I know it's pink and it's full of sparkles, but you can't get sucked in a grand final. Where are we backs? Backs, come in here. Now, there's going to be a lot of bloody interest in the rainbow waterfall at halfway. Don't worry about it, boys. It's a granny. After we win the bloody granny, we can go out and have a bloody swim. But until then, we're going to concentrate. Now, I've changed the club song. So when we win this grand final, it's going to be a bloody 17-minute jam. Now, there's a few organ breakdowns. So anyone not starting on the ground, I'm going to need you to head out and find me an organ and at least two original members of the Doors. Otherwise, the whole thing's going to be bloody kaput. It's going to sound stupid. Now, get out there and win me a comp.
LSD was the winner.
Yeah, so you know what I love? I love laughing at experiences that I've heard secondhand from other people.
You've got no relation to me too.
You're listening to Merrick and Australia.
With a big thanks to Toyota, I've got Scott Dooley with me in the studios. And Dools, we're just talking about, when have you misplaced a pensioner? Have you ever lost a pensioner? I know, it sounds insane, doesn't it?
Have you?
Yeah, of course I have. Of course I've lost a pensioner. No. Anybody who's worth their medal has lost a pensioner at one stage.
What happened?
I didn't have to use a police dog to find him, but I did lose a pensioner. Years ago, I went to go and pick up my grandfather from the Broken Hill retirement village that he was living at. And he was an old bloke. He was like 86 or something like that, maybe a bit older. I thought, you know what he would love?
Tell me. He would love
to have a drive in the Celica. That's what he'd love. He hasn't been in the Celica for a while. He certainly hasn't driven it for a while. You know what he'd love? He'd love to go for a drive in the fluorescent yellow Celica around Broken Hill.
Yeah.
So I went and picked him up at the...
What year?
It's 86.
86, 87,
This is the car.
Yeah.
This would have been in 2002 or something like that.
Sure.
So I go and pick him up. I go, you know what? I said to him, Pop, let's go to Bell's and we'll get you an ice cream. And he goes, oh, I'd love an ice cream. Of course you'd love an ice cream. You're a pensioner. So I go, how easy could this be? And take him out of the retirement village, across the road, to the car. I go around, open up the door. I go, there you go, Pop. No worries. And he goes, yeah, good. And I jump in the car and...
What? You just dropped him off?
No, I just brought him over because, onto the...
And then you'd go and park the car.
Yeah. No, over to the car. Hop in the car, Pop. I'll drive us. We'll go and get ourselves an ice cream. And to be honest, I was a little bit distracted about what ice cream or milkshake I was going to have. I couldn't decide. Yeah. You know, when you're in that weird space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you can't quite decide.
What were you thinking? Yeah. Peppermint or?
Oh, honestly,
peppermint was a good milkshake. Peppermint was an underrated.
Pineapple is. Yeah, I know it shouldn't go with dairy, but it does. Anyway. Sitting there thinking about
Sir, I hate everything you just said, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
Get in the car and start driving off, and I go, hang on a second, where's Pop?
Wait. It's just you put him in the car from the walk from the passenger side to the driver's side.
Yeah.
You've jumped in. You've driven.
Yeah, I've driven a little bit down the road. Not very far. Only a few metres. I've driven down the road. I've gone,
enough for it to be negligent, though.
Yeah, I've gone, oh, bugger, I've left my phone at the retirement. Oh, no, hang on. It's not my phone. I've dropped something, though. Oh, it's Pop. And I stop the car and I get out and he's just laying in the gutter.
Good.
He kind of fell over. He went to go and get the car and he didn't do a very good job of it. And he was just laying on the grass where the gutter is, just laying, just like, you know what pensions are like.
Yeah, they're always lying in gutters.
Left him behind. And I said, well, you're right there. And he goes, I thought we were going to get ice cream. I said, well, how about I help you get in the car? So he'd obviously gone to open up the door of the car. Forgot to open up the door of the car. And just went plunk on the ground.
Poor old bloke.
So I am asking 13353 at my own peril. Have you lost a pensioner? Have you just left one of them behind? You can leave them. Scotty's checking the phones to see if anybody will ring through. I said this to the producers. I said, you know what? It's a bit of a weird one. When have you left a pensioner behind? When have you lost one? They are a position.
Whenever we get if we get a caller, I'm telling you what, you're buying Merrick Watts a beer after the show. It's because I've said, I've
been. Liam, get on the thing. Liam's the producer. You bloody lost one. You said today, let's do this. You said it's a good idea. I'm putting it on. You said this is the best idea I've ever heard. And if Jamie Angel, my boss, doesn't like it, he can get stuffed. That's what you said.
You did say get stuffed to Jamie Angel.
Harsh
and I said that's uncalled for.
I've lost a pensioner.
You've lost a pensioner?
Yeah, I lost my grandfather in an airport. We were waiting around for our flight out of Townsville. We've been up there for a family wedding.
Of course you were.
We were having our coffees, reading the paper. Our flight got called and we turned around and said, where's Jimpa gone? That's my grandfather's Jimpa. Name.
Yep.
Are you sure he's not a coastal recreation park?
He does sound like a play equipment.
He does sound like something.
Where's Liam? Oh, he's playing on the Jimpa.
He chipped his tooth on the Jimpa.
So it was a frantic race around Townsville Airport, and eventually he just wandered out of the airport and was wandering back to town.
So they found him. They do that. This is not insane. It's not insane to lose a pensioner. They're tricky.
They're up to something.
They're tricky. They just fall out of your possession sometimes. Sometimes they fall out of a yellow Celica and they just comfortably lay on the ground.
What ice cream did you end up getting? I need closure.
That's really good, actually. I ended up getting a spider.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Of course you did in Broken
Coke,
Hill.
A Coke spider, and it was mind-boggling.
And what colour trackies were you wearing?
I can't remember because the bum bag was in the way. The phones have now gone insane. Look at that. See, Tools, you said it'd never make it. This is the Alan Bond America's Cup version of today's show. We are going to get to some calls. We're going to take a bit of a break so that my boss can explain to me why not to do this again. And then we'll come back with calls.
Wing keel.
Let's get one call.
Okay, I'm going to cause trouble for myself.
Chrissy, okay, just to prove a point that there are people who care about this. Chrissy, hello, good afternoon. Just anyone, hello, are you there? Just anyone, Alan, just put something to air. Put on the voice, Alan!
Sneaky Al! She's there now.
Chrissy.
Hi.
G'day, Chrissy.
Thank God. Have you lost a pensioner?
It was actually my grandfather.
If you say he died, you're going to kill this for me.
I was with him, and we went to McDonald's, Nan and Pop and me. And
for a soft serve?
The car. Probably.
Yeah.
Got back in the car and shut the door. We're driving off. I was laughing far too much to tell Pop. Nan is still standing in the car park.
You left Nan behind. I bet Pop didn't want to go back, did he? He goes, we lost it out. Carry on.
We went back, but she was like, I was wondering if you're going to come back for me.
Did anyone use the term the grand burglar had come along, nicked her?
No, I can't say we did.
Chrissy, thank you for proving my point. Even as idiotic as it is, we've got lots of calls coming through now. Let's see whether or not we get to them after I've had a chat to our program director.
You're listening to Merrick and Australia.
With a big thanks to Toyota, Scott Doolittle is with me in the studios. And just to be asinine and to be a pain in the bum, I'm trying to prove a point here because like half an hour ago, I said that people lose pensioners. I lost a pensioner. It happens. They're like a mobile phone. You just go, oh, God, hang on a second. What if I left it? Because I accidentally drove off once and my grandfather was laying in a gutter. But I was so mesmerised by the fact that I wasn't...
I love that someone's just tuned in and doesn't know the rest of the story.
Well, what, I went to go pick him up from the retirement home. I said, let's go and get a milkshake. And he goes, yeah, that is great. And then I drove off and I went, hang on a second. One of the passengers is missing.
The other passenger.
The only passenger. Pop. And he was just laying on the nature strip, as old people do. Lucky it wasn't council cleanup, because he would have been chucked away.
Or he would have been picked up by a weirdo that goes to those things.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Church pews.
So the I said, look, you know, he gives a call if you've ever lost a pensioner. And then everyone thought, that's not going to happen. And we've waited half an hour. I've broken every rule of radio. My boss is definitely going to have a conversation about this tomorrow. But I don't care. To be an idiot and to prove a point, we've got Jerry in Greensboro. When have you lost a pensioner?
G'day, boys. How you going? Love the show. G'day,
Jerry. Thanks, mate. All right. Saved my life.
About 20-odd years ago when Thompson Tuffy try and make some money, so I decided to do a bit of cab driving of the night time.
Mm, yep.
And there I was, pulled up at the rank in the old Myers, Lonsdale Street area, and lady hops in the front seat, and there I am trying to jump out into Lonsdale Street as she's buckling herself in, and there's a break in the traffic, and I pull out and get about 20 metres, and she turns around and says, oh, are you all right, Gretel? And I said, who are you talking to, lady? And she goes, oh, my friend who's jumped in the back seat.
What?
And I was not aware that anyone had jumped in the back seat. And I look in the mirror, and there she is surrounded. She spread eagle on the bitumen, and she's surrounded by about 20 people.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah,
so
that was probably my second customer.
You know what, Jerry? The great thing is that up until that point, I looked like a monster.
Great work, Jerry.
Now I just look like a guy who drives a car. We've got Kayla. Hello, Kayla. How are you?
I'm Eric. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good. Have you lost a pensioner?
Not necessarily lost a pensioner, but found one.
Oh, great. This is a new twist on an old favourite.
Yeah. So about 4 o'clock in the morning a couple of years ago, we got a phone call from the Queensland Police Station in Brisbane saying that my grandmother had turned up on their front doorstep. She had decided to jump into a taxi in Brisbane and asked them to take her to Yuguna in New South Wales.
Ooh, that's...
The taxi driver sort of cottoned on and he took her to the police station, and my dad got a phone call in Sydney at 4 o'clock in the morning to let us know.
Wow.
That's,
you know,
from that was that my grandmother came down, my auntie had to drive down from Kangaroo Plains in north of Queensland to go and get her.
Kayla, the cab driver should have asked whether or not they had a cab charge, because if your grandmother worked for this company, that would not have been a problem.
Not at all, no. Heaps of commission on that one.
Thanks, Kayla. Everyone's getting them, Duels. Everyone's getting a Joe Esposito today for backing me in when I look like I'd really buggered it up. Got Alan. Hello, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. Have you lost a pensioner?
Yeah, that's about 10 years ago back in Scotland. I lost my great-grand.
Oh, so it's gone international now, has it?
It's not just in Australia.
Right to here, far away. How'd you lose her, Al?
We were out shopping, and we were in one of the department stores, like our equivalent of Meijer and David Jones. Yep. She was riding on one of those mobility scooters. She was in her 90s, so not very well getting around. I was getting bored of how slow she was in the scooter, so I managed to find the speed controller.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And when me and my, I was out with my gran, so we had her back's turn, she just took off. We found out about 10 minutes later, she'd gone round the corner and crashed into the bra section.
That is like an episode of Home Improvement where Tim Allen just goes too far.
And she's crashed into the bra section.
She just went in the corner. You couldn't write the script. Me and my gran walked around and just like, oh, shit, there she is.
Alan, the only thing missing is someone saying, I'm free. That's the only thing. That's an Are You Being Served episode.
Okay, Dylan, against better judgment, we're going with you as well. Let's go. When have you lost a pensioner?
Hey, Maz, how do you? Hey,
Duels, how are you? G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate, good. About 10 years ago, I was working at a hospital, let's say on the dementia ward where the crazy pensioners tend to hang out. And I went to the front door to let some visitors in, and one of the sprightly old fellas had noticed the door open and made a run for it.
Oh, yeah. When you say run,
yeah.
I mean, in real terms, a brisk walk for it.
Yeah. Well, he had his walking stick with him anyway, yeah. but he got a head start on me. He got out into the parking lot, and when I got a hold of him, he ended up putting up a pretty big fight to get him back into the ward. So,
mate, you know what? With all of these kind of like the Crocodile Hunter style shows and stuff like that, you should do the pension wrangler. Just go out and you find an old person, just bring them down. Sometimes they try to get away because they got a stick and they try to defend themselves, but you got to hold them down and quickly wrap a noose around their mouths and keep their mouths shut because otherwise their teeth fall out.
Cover the eyes, Terry.
Throw a sack over their face.
I like it, man.
Play the song. Stop talking. You have to stop talking. I'm begging you to stop talking.
Okay, enough of this. I think we've gone one bridge too far. That was good enough. Let's get out.
Around the country, this is Merrick and Australia.
With a big thanks to Toyota. Well, he has reviewed everything from Paris Fashion Week to the oncoming football season, and now it's time for Madonna's new album.
Yes, hello. It's Chopper here. And this week, I'm reviewing Madonna's new album. Now, most people saw Madonna fall down the stairs while she was performing at the Brit Awards a few weeks ago. And if you didn't, you should. It's bloody funny, right? My back. But what everyone forgets is that she's 106 years old. She's lucky she didn't shatter like a bloody biscuit. Actually, her face is 25 years old, but her neck looks like it's made out of elbow skin. And her arms are all bloody sinewy and gross. And she's just put out a new album called Rebel Heart, which I assume is some sort of reference to a heart transplant or heart surgery or having a failing heart. I don't know, she's old. Madonna's been so overtly sexy for so long that I think it's safe to say she's never been less like a virgin. Now, the album features a lot of special guests, including Mike Tyson, the boxer, who we all know from his criminal past is also very much unlike a virgin, and other guests, including Nicki Minaj. Now, I might have missed the point with Nicki Minaj, but my personal opinion is that she's so gross, I feel like getting checked for an STI after hearing one of her songs. Now, Rebel Heart features producers like Avicii and Diplo and the constantly insane Kanye West, who all basically specialise in making ringtones that go on for too long. Avicii is a Swedish idiot who decided it wasn't a completely shit idea to put dance beats under country and western songs. In fact, I challenge you to listen to his song Hey Brother the whole way through without laughing to death and or self-harming. Right, it's probably the dumbest piece of music since The Crazy Frog. I haven't heard anything by Diplo, but I'd like to keep it that way because we can all agree with a name like Diplo, he just has to be a f***head, especially if he chose it for himself. Basically, it's a series of bleeps and squeaks and stupid beeps and it sound like a broken fax machine having sex with a dial-up modem from the 90s while a person tries to sing just hard enough that her dentures don't fall out. Which is why it's surprising that some of the songs on the album have up to six people with a bloody writing credit. What do you need six people to write this garbage? It just goes to show that too many cooks can spoil a broth, especially when a senior citizen then pours the broth over her naked body in a desperate attempt to attract attention. The song, Bitch, I'm Madonna, sounds a bit like a conversation between a Vevazula and a keyring that makes fart sounds that's been pitch-altered and played backwards. But still, you have to hand it to Madonna for someone who remembers both world wars to put out an album's a bloody good effort in itself, you know? So I'm going to give the old battler one star for every decade she's been alive. So I give Rebel Heart 11 stars out of 5. Good on you.
Yeah. You're listening to Merrick and Australia.
And Scott Dooley's with me. Dooley, you've got shows beginning as part of the Melbourne Comedy Festival this week, yeah?
I do. Thursday night, we open for a month of shows at the Comedy Festival. These are my last shows in Australia for the year. So
I'll come and see them.
You should.
I saw your show at the end of last year.
Yes.
It was very funny.
Thank you.
Scott Dooley and Friends. But this is a different show.
Different
altogether.
Show, all brand new. It's doing well. Okay. I'll send you a link to buy tickets, Mez.
Excellent. You do that. I would just mention it on radio if I were you, but whatever. Dooley, one of the things I like to do sometimes on a Monday is Gumtree. I like to go to the site, find something funny or something different in there, and then have a chat about it. Today I want to do something different, Dooley.
Okay.
What I'm going to do, I've got an ad for something here in my hands, right?
Yeah.
What I want to do is just read the preamble for the product. Not going to tell you what it is, just going to read what this person has written.
Sure.
And then I want to see if you can guess what it is.
Okay.
Okay, understand? So what I need now, I'm going to play the intro for it.
Yeah.
And whilst I'm doing it, I'm just going to put you into the soundproof booth so you can't hear it. And then, because what I'm going to do is then I'm going to tell everybody what it is. So you run out.
Okay, I'll go out.
All right. Okay. So once he's out of the soundproof booth, which is actually just outside there. Okay, we all good? Now block your ears, make sure he doesn't hear anything. Okay, Dooley is going to try and guess that this person is selling two glass milk bottles. I repeat, two glass milk bottles. Will Scott Dooley be able to guess what's for sale on Gumtree?
Okay, Dooley, so I reckon all I might have found a cracker today, and this is why I want to do things a little bit differently. I'm going to read you the ad, and then we'll play the game.
Okay.
Now, if I'm loud at any section, it's because whatever has been written here is written in capitals.
Excellent.
Okay, ready? Excellent. Here we go.
Okay.
Important! It's not bloody rocket science! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation mark. I don't call mobile phones. Please don't ask me to call or text you. I won't. All communications is to be done via Gumtree messaging. No time wasters! Mark, 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 mark. You either want the items or you don't. If you have genuine interest in my items, then please reply ASAP to confirm a suitable time to pick them up. If you ask me a question, then please have the decency to check your Gumtree messaging through the day. I check my Gumtree messages a few times through the day. Why can't you make the effort to? That's an ad of somebody who wants to sell something. Like, I'm hooked. I'm getting this. I'm not in this one. Okay. Okay, you can,
now I'm gonna,
you
can ask some questions. Clues.
Of course you can.
All right.
Fire away. Everybody else knows what it is.
Okay. I am going to go on a limb. Can I ask, is what's for sale commonly used by murderers?
No, you think okay. so.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, is it... Is it alive?
No.
Okay, so it's not alive.
No.
It's is it a household item?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Daily household item in some homes.
Right.
And I'm going to give you another clue. Probably more common...
With lunatics? Lunatics? Is it more common with lunatics?
With people who stab. No, it is more common probably in the 60s and 70s and those bygone eras like many, many decades ago.
Okay. Has it been superseded by something?
Yes, it has.
Is it in the, see, this person seems to be very obsessed with communication. Is it a communication device?
No.
Okay. Because I must say, when you said, I don't talk to mobile phones, I went, oh, he's selling a CB radio.
Yeah, no.
So, okay.
You would find this in the, say, 60s. You would have found this in probably every household in Australia.
Would you find it in the kitchen?
Yes, you would.
Okay, so it's a kitchen item. And is it more than one?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's more than... And these things are a set or you could split them up?
No, you can split them up. You can split them up. This person has two on offer and they come in a carry cage. A little carry cage.
Cage?
Like a little wire carry cage thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a carry. Is it used for cooking or cleaning?
Ooh, you could use the contents for cooking and something like custard. That was the dumbest clue I gave away. Just look at the guys outside the studio going, you're a moron, Merrick.
Well, is it a custard set?
Close.
Fondue?
One more guess. I'm going to give you one more clue and then you have a final guess, all right? It holds something. It contains something. It is a vessel, but a very, very common household item from bygone era.
Oh, I'm cheeky. So I'm going to have to buy you two beers after work,
yes.
Aren't I? No, I should have done. It is a.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm out.
I'm just going to go back and read. Important. It's not bloody rocket science. It is. Two glass milk bottles. Why so much aggression for some glassware, mate? It's only $40. It's a bargain, but I'm too scared to purchase them.
We can also, because this year starts with a two. No one needs glass milk bottles.